Hi everyone, Matt Polka once again with another video edition of our ACA Connects podcast that we call DC2U, bringing key lawmakers here in Washington to you to talk about issues not only our members care about, but issues of importance to all Americans. Congressman Johnson is a Republican from the eastern border of Ohio, serving very, very small and rural areas. And he's here today to talk to us about expansion of rural broadband all across America. Here's Congressman Bill Johnson on our DC2U ACA Connects podcast. Hi everyone, Matt Polka here once again with our ACA Connects podcast, a special video podcast that we call DC2U, where we talk with key leaders here in Washington, D.C. about issues that matter to our members as well as to people all across the country. Today we are so pleased to have Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio with us. Great to have you with us, Congressman.
Good to be with you. Thanks for coming in.
First thing I want to talk about is rural broadband, but to set that up, tell us a little bit about your district and why rural broadband is such an important issue.
Oh my goodness. If there is an example of the urban-rural divide where digital economy is concerned, it's my district. My district goes from about an hour outside of Cleveland to an hour outside of Cincinnati, all the way down the Ohio River. It's pretty much all of Appalachia. And of the 18 counties in my district, they're all rural. I can't think of a single county that does not have significant challenges with broadband access. It's been a problem I've been focused on since I got here in January of 2011. It's a big problem.
I know you have been. You've been certainly a champion to talk about the issue of rural broadband, finding solutions in your work on the Energy and Commerce Committee and on the Subcommittee on Communications and Technology. It seems like rural broadband is an issue that everybody can agree needs to be solved, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. Are there some ideas that you would consider to be sort of bipartisan ideas that you see moving forward now? And also, are there some specific ideas that you would like to see move forward?
Well, there are several things that have got to happen. And first of all, I'll tell you that I've talked not only to my colleagues, but the committee staff, the subcommittee staff, our ranking member, Greg Walden. You know, we've been talking about this issue of broadband expansion since I got here in 2011. Right. We haven't made a whole lot of progress. And the reason for that is because it is a complicated situation. There is no one-size-fits-all solution that's going to solve this problem. But it's critical that we do. The first thing we've got to do, and I think there's agreement on both sides of the aisle, is we've got to have a map that accurately represents what the unserved and underserved areas actually are. You know, the previous methodology for developing that that broadband map was to look at a census block. Right. And if you had one broadband internet connection in a census block, then you considered that area served. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that a census block, which is a block of a number of people, a census block in downtown Columbus, Cleveland, or Cincinnati is a very much smaller geographical area. Sure. Than a census block in Appalachia, right. Where you might have a county in its entirety or maybe even more to get a census block. And to say that you've got one broadband access point inside that census block that county or that region is served, that's not accurate. That is absolutely not accurate. So we need a map that really identifies where the gaps are. I've been working with the FCC on that issue, right. With NTIA, the National Telecommunications and Information Agency, working on methodologies to improve that mapping process. We've got some legislation that's going to be moved in the last session of Congress. It's called the Mapping Now Act. It was actually signed into law, so it transferred that responsibility to NTIA. But now we got to get them some money, and we got to help them with the methodology. And really get the ball moving in the right direction. So step number one is to develop a map so we know what we're dealing with.
Well, our members serve areas just like your district and are in your district, yep. So we understand this issue from start to finish, and it is so important to ensure that we can find out those homes that are unserved. Yeah. It is difficult to do so, and there's no doubt about it. So that'll be part of certainly further discussions within the committee and maybe even as part of infrastructure discussions as we might see that move through the committee.
Well, I think so, because you know there's one area that we do agree on that has bipartisan support, and that's the area of infrastructure. You know, whether it's roads, bridges, sewer systems, water systems, energy infrastructure, broadband access is considered part of that infrastructure.
And that's a change, actually, now that we see broadband in the same conversation as roads, bridges, railways, et cetera.
That's very true. And in the president's proposal, when he talked about infrastructure, he included rural broadband as part of his overall strategy. And about 25% of what the president hopes to invest at the federal level is going to be targeted toward rural infrastructure needs. And a big part of that's going to be, of course, broadband internet. I met with Chairman Pai last week, and we talked about this. They've got access now, $20.4 billion.
Right.
And we talked extensively about you know, the need for real tactical clarity on how they plan to roll out that that expansion, because one size is not going to fit every situation. In some places there's going to be hardwire, some places there's wireless, some places there's satellite. And you've got 5G on the horizon.
Right.
Some are already talking about 10G.
Correct.
So there's a lot of movement, but we've got to make sure that before we start going from 5G for those that have already got 4G or 10G for those that have already got 5G, that we've got some G
exactly.
for some that don't have any G.
That's exactly
you know what
right.
I'm saying?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Got to target the areas that need it most.
Absolutely, because businesses will not go into an area. Schools, kids can't do their homework and their research projects. Adults can't take online education classes. I mean, it is just in a digital world like the one we live in today, broadband access is essential. Telehealth is another
sure.
big
sure.
area
sure.
That broadband is essential for. And it's not the providers that are pushing back or being resistant or throwing up barriers for the expansion of telehealth services. It's the availability sure. of a signal to get it out there.
Well, we appreciate your leadership on this issue. I've seen this firsthand with our members where they literally take broadband into a community that didn't have it before.
Right.
And it literally transforms the community and connects that community to the world. And as you mentioned, schools, institutions, colleges, hospitals, it's just incredible the connection.
And you mentioned schools in particular, schools, public libraries, they qualify or should qualify for a set of licenses in the 2.5 gigahertz range mm-hmm. called EBS, Educational
right.
Broadband Services. I spoke with Chairman Pai about that last week. And week before last, and then we had a hearing on it last week about opening up those EBS licenses, because very, very economically we can open up those licenses to schools and to public libraries, nonprofits that are associated with education or workforce
sure.
development, those kinds of things, and we could kind of build a checkerboard coverage of many rural areas. So we're looking at all solutions, but I want to see some results,
of course.
Because I'm getting frustrated with hearing the sad stories
sure.
Week after week when I travel that Appalachian region where I live. Our people need the help.
Well, rural broadband is one of the many issues that is working through the House Energy and Commerce Committee right now, and particularly Communications and Technology Subcommittee. But it also, to me, raises the question of how much can reasonably get done in what is a very challenging political mm-hmm. environment. There are important issues that certainly our members and you too would like to see move forward towards passage between now and the next presidential election.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of possibility exists to see major important legislation like movement on rural broadband or other things where it seems like there's a consensus What are the prospects for ideas like that to actually move forward?
Well, I think the opportunities are there. I think we're just going to have to hope that our Democrat colleagues, our colleagues on the other side of the aisle that are holding the gavel right now, will come off of that perch and stop focusing on things like net neutrality Medicare for all or the Green New Deal. And let's focus on those areas where we do have a common interest and a common goal, and solving the rural broadband problem is one that we do. So if we can get our colleagues to roll up their sleeves and sit down, I think the opportunities are there.
Sure.
It doesn't take that long to move a bill through the legislative process. I heard just this week there's an absence of suspension bills. Man, I can think of a lot of things we could do on the broadband access side of the house to begin to open the door. I'll work with Democrats or Republicans. It doesn't matter. Let's roll up our sleeves and solve the problem. Because I know some of my Democrat colleagues have got rural districts too.
Sure, of course they do. And historically, there has been more bipartisanship on these kinds of issues.
You're right.
Rather than maybe some of the other issues.
Yeah, our Mapping Now Act was bipartisan. A lot of that passed last December in the big package. That was all bipartisan legislation.
Well, in that regard, our members who are 800 smaller businesses providing broadband, phone, and video service are with you in the sense that we are trying also, as a small association, to find people that are willing to work together in an environment where that doesn't happen so commonly any longer. What kind of words of advice would you have for our members who are continuing, for very important reasons, to solve these problems, on how we can encourage members to come together to solve these important problems?
You know, I'm always amazed at in one regard, on one end of the spectrum, how simple computers are. Mm-hmm. You know, it's ones and zeros moving very, very fast. It's really not rocket science.
Right.
And yet how complicated it is to solve the problem. And so there aren't a lot of people here in Congress that really understand the depth of the complexity of telecommunications. Mm. And so I would say keep doing what you're doing. Activities like this to educate members, to inform members, and help them understand that solutions are not that hard to find. We just need to get the stakeholders in the room and start talking about how to solve those problems, because I think there are many of us on both sides of the aisle that want to solve it. So keep doing what you're doing. Be a champion on the advocacy side so that we can bring some of those folks to the table.
Well, after 26 years, we're not giving up. I can assure you that.
I wouldn't think for a second that you would.
Congressman, thank you so much for taking some time today with our ACA Connects members and with all that'll see our video podcast.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
Congressman Bill Johnson. Hope you enjoyed our ACA Connects DC to You podcast with Congressman Bill Johnson of Eastern Ohio. Great to hear his views on rural broadband. We have lots more coming for you here at ACA Connects. You can find our podcasts on Podomatic and Apple Podcasts, and look soon for other places where you can find our podcast. Look us up. Just search for us at ACA Connects, and don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. We love to hear your feedback. We love to get your ideas on what we can do on future ACA Connects podcasts. We'll see you soon.